many of you are here to support us and to remember Dad. Your presence is definitely a testament to how many lives he touched, and I do feel like everyone here knew him in some capacity, which is amazing. Dave appreciated short and simple. His funeral, that's what he left us in writing. Birthday cards, visits, phone calls, and wise advice. But he was long on laughs, generosity, kindness, homemade and store-bought cookies, fancy cheeses, and a fierce love for his family. It's so hard to encapsulate who our dad was. He was 95 years young. He was curious about everything. An adventurer at heart, he was witty, intelligent, a tech pioneer. He had high standards. He was the IT support for some of you here. He was a foodie. He was impatient. He was inspirational. He was positive, an entrepreneur, a gambler, an investor, a novice chef, a news junkie, and of course, a Mariner fan. He loved culture and old movies, a French baguette with good butter, the performing arts, and winning the trifecta. See what I mean? It's a very long list. Dad was born and raised in Seattle in the Central District, 25th and Cherry. He was born and he died in the same hospital, Swedish Cherry Hill. His immigrant parents, along with many close relatives, gave him a foundation of love, stability, and community that launched him into a life filled with the same. He was raised on boyus, borecas, and bizcochos, which were always at the ready and made lovingly by our Nona. And he passed that love of the delicacies on to all of us. He cherished his Sephardic heritage, and he instilled that in all of us. Just ask his grandchildren, who were one quarter Sephardic, but they'll tell anyone proudly, "I'm Sephardic." Sorry, honey. He met Mom on a train to Portland, and it was love at first sight. They were married within a year in 1958. They shared so much love and did nearly everything together, from grocery shopping to owning racehorses, to gambling in Las Vegas, trips to New York City, enjoying theater, music, and their closest and dearest friends. They were each other's everything. With the help of Dad's parents, he bought a small fixture business called Ross Display Fixture. And he found a partner, Jerry Kasten, whose children are all here, that turned out to be his comedic other half, his best friend, and co-creator in a thriving business. Their friendship was cut short with Jerry's passing, but lasted in his heart until his final days. Dad's early losses, his brother Jack and Jack's wife Sarah, taught him early about resilience. He weathered many losses of loved ones, outliving dear friends, the loss of our mom way too early, and he dealt with his own health challenges these last few years. He showed us what resilience looks like, how to bounce back after losing the love of his life, how to find joy every day in small things, even when times are hard. A good cup of coffee, a visit with his kids, a Queen Amon, or a postmortem with Barry about yesterday's Mariner game. While he didn't want to give up his full independence, and he sure let us know that, he had a positive attitude about his new life at the Summit. He found ways to enjoy new friends, engaging with those around him with kindness and humor. Having to take away his kitchen when he moved was the most painful thing for all of us. Thankfully, he still had his computer, and he had Amazon and Costco delivered to the Summit. He showed us what resilience was. So we know Dad's one request for his funeral, as Suzanne said, was short and simple. And I'll do my best to honor his wishes, but it's hard to keep it short when talking about Dad's life and the impact he had on me and those around him. I will always hear him say, "You about ready?" Which is code for, "He's done." I wish I could read Dad all the wonderful notes and messages we have received since his passing, with so many kind words about Dad. He definitely made his mark and lasting impression on all that knew him, young and old. I used to read all the replies when I would post something on social and read them to him, and it always brought a smile to his face. And these were replies from people he knew and my friends, people he didn't know. He loved hearing them. I really wish I could read him everything that has been said since Wednesday. Dad's positive attitude when faced with tough times and his appreciation for even the smallest joys is an inspiration to me and a quality that I hope to have and hold on to for many years to come. Don't get me wrong, Dad was also vocal about the things that were not working for him and that he didn't like and was very direct. But in the big picture, he showed me how to live life with humor, grace, kindness, and a positive attitude. Dad's range of knowledge and interests was wide. Sports, politics, researching and buying a new computer, to wondering why the Kardashians are so popular. And if I knew that straight leg pants are out and that wide leg is in. As he said that, he was looking at what I was wearing. And this was months, just months ago. Dad valued and enjoyed his time with friends, many from when he was a young boy and his college years and beyond. In his later years, he tell us he's got Romeo today. And for those who don't know, that was retired men, old men eating out. I always thought to myself, I hope I'm as lucky to have friends that I've known that long and continue to stay connected. Many of those friends' kids, Suzanne and I are friends with now, and Dad always lit up when we talked about us getting together. One of the most influential traits Dad passed on to me was his work ethic. From very early on, he taught me to work hard, learn from those with more experience, and ask questions and be present. Don't give up, even if it's hard or a challenge arises. And that is something I have carried with me throughout my entire career. He gave great financial advice. He told me at a very early age, save, even $25 out of a paycheck, open an IRA and diversify. And not that long ago, he was still sharing a CD he found with a decent return. He loved to research tech devices or any kind of equipment. I think I got his research abilities from him, but for tech, I just was not interested like he was. So I could ask him to do the research for me on anything. And then he'd send me a link within a few hours. And he loved doing it and also wanted to make it easier for me, just like a dad would. Up until last week, Dad loved eating out in restaurants, and we all did that with him as much as possible. I was lucky to have my own one-on-one time eating out with him often. He wanted to feel the vibe in a restaurant with young people and really good food. He and I would often go to a new place or an old favorite, and I was happy to oblige. It was a win-win for sure. Dad also loved his Sephardic food. Any Sephardic recipe anybody needed was available in his huge folder of Sephardic delicacies. Of course, the pressure was very high to meet his critical food standards. But when you got the nod of approval, or very good, just like I remember, you felt like you hit the jackpot. He always had a solution on how to fix something. He loved every kind of gadget or creatively constructing a household item to fix an issue when buying a $2 item at the store would be faster. He loved to solve a problem for himself and help anyone else figure it out. When we moved him out of the condo, we found Velcro everywhere. For remotes to his bed, to his kitchen table, bottle caps taped to a keyboard to raise it. 2 weeks ago, he gave me Velcro from his stash to solve a minor inconvenience I was having, and Velcro was the answer. We didn't realize until he moved to the Summit what made his days so busy and full all those years since Mom had passed. But when we were helping and driving him around or picking things up for him, we found out pretty quickly. Costco Hearing Aid Center, Costco Eye Center, trips to Safeway because they have butter and his coffee on sale, and to Trader Joe's because he liked their baguette and cookies. The last request for me on Saturday was, can you buy me a jar of Skippy? Dad was my greatest role model, mentor, number one fan, financial advisor, spirit booster, and teacher. He showed me for all of my nearly 65 years, that family is above everything else. He modeled how to care deeply for your partner. He loved our mom through all the ups and downs of their 49 years together. How to nurture and support his kids without coddling or spoiling us and giving us our wings to fly in any direction we chose. He played dad until his last coherent days, checking in if anyone was under the weather, asking about the kids' jobs, their personal lives and families, and always providing the comfort of a loving parent. He taught me how to read a racing form. I'm still looking for a meaningful way to use that skill. On the other hand, the blackjack rules he taught me when I was a young teen did come in handy on numerous trips to Las Vegas. Yes, our parents took us on a family trip to Las Vegas. Enough said about that. Like my sister, he taught me how to manage money, live within your means, help others, enjoy life, and save for your future. And always pay off your credit card bill and buy on sale whenever possible. The curious thing about Dad was he could afford to buy his favorite Tillamook ice cream at full price, but insisted, also last week, that I go to Safeway to get him the sale price of 2 gallons for $7.49. He kept Elise and I both busy with his multiple grocery items and locations. This was not a man who thought he was going to take his last breath within a week. Optimism was his middle name, always seeing the bright side. There's always next year for the Mariners. The stock market will bounce back. We'll survive this political nightmare. He taught me about independence and determination. His independence and determination were on display always. He took care of himself to the best of his ability, even until his last week. When Mom died, he learned how to cook, sort of clean, do laundry, and just find ways to enrich his life on his own and with his family and friends. He even quit smoking after 75 years at age 93 and took up exercise. He was determined to live his life well. He led by example. He showed us what personal growth and open-mindedness looks like. He embraced liberal causes of all kinds. He owned a Prius in the earliest days of hybrid cars. He was open to our fast-changing technologies, whether it was setting up Facebook, learning about AI, adding 45 apps to his phone, or learning about the current issues affecting our society. He was open and he was tolerant. Dad's greatest joy was seeing me and my sister and Barry, his grandchildren, their spouses, and 4 great-grandchildren. Those visits brought him the biggest smiles. He modeled humility, optimism, a pragmatic approach to life, and he never took himself too seriously. I'll cherish those and all of his qualities and strive to carry them with me forward in my life. I know his smiling eyes will be watching over me for the rest of my days. It's true what they say, it does take a village, and there are many people from Dad's village that played a significant role over the last few years. This village helped him live his life with as much independence as possible and provided the help he needed at the summit. On behalf of Suzanne and I and the entire family, we want to thank Andy and everyone at the summit for their support and special care, unconditional kindness, and the attention they gave to Dad. To Shay, Jackie, and the rest of the Kleingallen Home Care Team for all of their help with Dad's needs. To Joyce, his Saturday caregiver, who always knew just what Dad needed before he even asked. Dad appreciated everything Joyce did for him and around the apartment. And a special thank you to Helen, who lovingly called Dad Mr. Dave. She adored him, and he felt the same way. Her care and kindness with Dad is beyond words. When Dad finally let Helen make his afternoon coffee just the way he liked it, we knew she was a perfect fit to help Dad and be there for him and all that he needed. Again, thank you all for your support and love for Dad, and he will be deeply missed. Lastly, I do want to thank my sister and brother. We made a great team. I can't imagine the last few years without you. I will miss Dad.
Thank you, Elise and Suzanne. Call upon Jacob. Share a few words with him.
Hey everyone, I'm going to be sharing on behalf of my sister's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We always knew this day would come. 95, after all, is a damn good run. And it's not lost on us just how rare and special it is to have had 30 plus years with our Papu well into adulthood. but it doesn't make the reality that we will continue life without him, our last living grandparent, any easier. He will always loom large in our memory and come alive with stories, jokes, baked goods brought in a little blue tin, pinched cheeks, hand-me-down cookware, and images of a sparkling gap-toothed smile holding court with a perfect one-liner. How could we possibly capture our Papu? He was dynamic, one of a kind, and undefined by typical grandfather stereotypes. Sure, he showered us with sweets like any good grandparents, from donuts and saltwater taffy at Seaside to homemade bumbuelos on Hanukkah. But he also contained multitudes, moving through the world in delightful and surprising ways. He loved a good Costco sale and taught us all how to save, but he also hedged his bets at the racetrack and casino. He adored his family to no end, but remained fiercely independent, cherishing every family dinner without being afraid to announce, "You about ready?" Clearly his famous catchphrase telling us it was time to go home. We'll never forget his response when we invited him to join our family bubble in the height of COVID, out of concern for his health. He politely declined because perusing the aisles at the grocery store each week, one of his great pleasures, was just too important to give up. He was born in the Depression, but was way more tech savvy than all of us, buying a new computer at age 93, and always finding new gadgets to optimize his space and life. He was a product of his time in many ways, stoic with emotions, breadwinner for the family, but he also made his own ice cream, did all the shopping, and adored baking for himself and his loved ones. When Noni died, he was insistent on taking care of himself. Even as a man of his generation with relative wealth, he had left-leaning politics, donated to progressive causes, and could easily connect with young people on the news of the day. In recent years, as his friends passed away and his body began to slow down ahead of his sharp wit and mind, he remained an active participant in his life. Papu grew tomatoes on his balcony at 90. He kept current on every Microsoft Windows update and checked in on his investments daily, often at the family dinner table. He relished in every phone call with us grandkids, expressing genuine interest in our lives, even if the calls lasted only 5 minutes. He cherished visits with his great-grandchildren, never passing up an opportunity to delight them with Biscoff cookies, which he kept stashed in his pantry waiting for their arrival. As our lives unfold, we know we'll find Papu everywhere. In the neighborhoods of his youth that Molly and Anna still frequent, in the Sephardic foods our mom and aunt will continue to bake for us, in the aisles of Big John's PFI, in the kitchenwares he's gifted us, in the Ladino songs we'll sing on Passover, and so much more. His absence will be impossible to fill, but we'll do our best to live with as much pleasure and zeal as he did. Papu, we love you madly.
Thank you all for the eulogies and for the inspiration. As we gather here today to say farewell to David Ben Eliyahu, we heard such words, and I don't think I have, till now, heard so many words of praise, reflection, and spiritual and emotional intimacy with a parent and a grandparent. And I think that's very moving, I'm sure, to everyone in the room today. But hearing of David being a man from the generation of families that built our Sephardic community in Seattle, parents emigrating from Rhodes, growing up in a Ladino-speaking home, rich with Sephardic culture and orientation, and making an effort to instill that beauty onto his children and grandchildren. As noted before, Jacob told me how David, his papu, would sing the Hadgadiyah in Ladino every year on Pesach, would have the children and grandchildren sit beside him at the synagogue at his Rebbe Sarot in the high holidays, and like everybody else from that generation, the synagogue was a place of natural gravitation, as his daughters have recalled, feeling that they grew up at the synagogue almost. With his wider family, he kept very close ties, as I was told, of his uncle in France. David made a point to keep a strong and real relationship with him, having visits from a young age, and later on keeping more occurrences, bar mitzvah visits, and so on and so forth. So that was so important for him. I was also very touched by hearing of his interpersonal charm and social life, how he would have real interest in others, genuinely care for others, show interest in everything in their life, and would be the one that would light up the room with his demeanor, maybe as a result of his very deep roots and friendships that consisted for many years. I was very touched to hear how devoted he was to your late mother, and after 17 years since her passing, was devoted to her spiritually and emotionally, and tried his best to keep a balanced life on his own without remarrying or anything, and keeping her real in his life as ever before. I was also truly and deeply touched by hearing how he displayed his own attributes to his children, teaching them of hard work, diligence, and what persistence meant when things went in his business and it was successful times, or in times of challenging phases, how he kept going, he was with it to win, and he stuck with what he needed to do. That's an important lesson for us in our times. Last night at the synagogue, we held a prayer for the Mildado, and we recalled and remembered the late Mrs. Tarika. And at the synagogue, just last night, Stella Tarika, I was told that Stella Tarika, David Tarika, and the late Miriam Behar somehow had equal traits of high, very high emotional intelligence. They just knew what people were needing or going through. They knew how to respond to you. They knew what was going on in the room. They had faithfulness. They had very organized and orderly thinking, and a very strong emphasis on family and tradition, especially Sephardic tradition. Friends, this Shabbat morning, we're going to be reading of a long story of many phases of the journey of the Jewish people. We had 42 stops between Egypt and Israel. Although it could have been a much shorter phase of time, we could have reached our point of destination so much sooner. But for one reason or another, it took us 40 years with 42 stops. Some of the stops were just for a day. And on the extreme end of the spectrum, there was a 19-year stop in one of the locations. I feel that the journey of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people in the wilderness, throughout time, all the way back in history, as well as our personal journey, and as we can hear and be inspired of the journey of David Tarika, carrying on a tradition from a family in Rhodes, being born in Seattle, holding on and preserving the tradition, being faithful, loyal, real, honest, trustworthy, and handing over recipes, songs at Pesach, taking his grandchildren to synagogue. All those journeys were worthwhile when we see that you do something about it. And David took that to heart and did something with it. I'm inspired by that, and I'm sure that we'll all learn from that in a very strong way. Being buried on a Friday, according to mystical Judaism, if anyone had to choose it, we're talking about him almost choosing or preparing or planning. A Friday for a burial is a very holy day, where the neshama goes upwards to the higher spheres of Gan Eden, being that it's Erev Shabbat, the eve of Sabbath, the eve of a day that reminds us of 100% spirituality and dimensions of divinity. He's going into that, accompanied by his family and loved ones, on Erev Shabbat, the eve of the holiest time we can ever think of. He is a pure soul, a beautiful soul, a kind soul, a lucky soul. to have such children, grandchildren, and 4 great grandchildren here with him today. We pray and hope that his neshama will be elevated in the bonds of everlasting life, that he'll advocate for his family, and that everyone here takes a mitzvah upon themselves for his memory. If we can walk out of here today, giving tzedakah, lighting a candle, doing a mitzvah, being kind, active, or pursuant of good deeds in our life, just for a day, or even more, that will do so much for ourselves and for the beloved neshama of David. I share my deep condolences with the family, and may Hashem give you strength at this challenging time to find comfort and understanding, and to see good days of happiness, health, and vitality. I'd like to announce that the meal of consolation will be today right after the funeral.